A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? It's a good question, isn't it? It's also a good perspective when we think about the whole idea of work and our jobs. To have a job is a blessing of God. To find fulfillment, to find satisfaction in it, can be a blessing of God. But it also puts a bit of onus of responsibility on us, doesn't it? To find something of satisfaction and fulfillment in the work that we have. The Bible tells us that Jesus did the work of God. In John chapter 9, as Doug read to us a moment ago, the work of God was to give sight to a man who had been born blind. Jesus said God's work would be displayed in this man's life. And so it was that everyone could see the healing that God had brought to this man's life. It was obvious. But God had other work as well for Jesus to do, and it would be displayed in other ways in people's lives. John chapter 4 tells us of Jesus and his disciples coming near to a Samaritan town. And while his disciples went into the town to get food, Jesus waited at a nearby well and spoke with a woman there. During that time, as the disciples started coming back, the woman went back into the town. And Jesus had this conversation with his apostles in verses 31 through 34. There it says, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus was always throwing a conundrum at his apostles and his followers, wasn't he? They never quite were sure what to expect of him. He said things that threw them off track. They were thinking, you know, in pretty much literal terms about everything, and Jesus just wasn't. Jesus was thinking in spiritual terms about things that were of greater importance than the visible, than the material, than the concrete around them. Jesus' food, what sustained him, what gave him a meaningful life, was doing God's will and finishing the work that God had given him to do. This is what Jesus' life was about. He was devoted to doing God's work, and he was devoted to finishing God's work during his earthly life. He said in John chapter 5 and verse 36, "The very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me." Near the end of his human life, he said to God the Father in John chapter 17 and verse 4, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And so we see that the desire Jesus had at the outset of his ministry was completed at the end of his ministry. In John chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus identified himself with God and what he was about by saying, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." So just as Jesus wanted to identify the fact that God was always taking care of his creation, every moment, every hour, every day, without exception, so it was that Jesus was here to show that to human beings in human form. Jesus identified with his Father because he was always at work. And then, as read earlier from Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, Jesus said of himself, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so it gives us some insight into the nature of God's work and into the attitudes that go with it. It wasn't just something to be done. It was a calling. And the nature of that calling was sacrificial. The story in John chapter 9 began with the phrase, as he went along. Phrases like this in the Gospels often are a lead-in to a work or a service that Jesus did. What we see is that Jesus found opportunities to do the work of God and to serve people as he went about his life. You know, when Jesus started out in the beginning of John chapter 9, he doesn't say to his apostles, now there's a blind man that I need to heal right down the road here. No, it's as he went along, as his life continued, as he went about his life, he was focused on doing the work of God. In that particular case, it had to do with healing a blind man's sight. But in other times, it would have to do with other things. Gospel writers show that Jesus served his Father God as a way of life. That's an important factor for us to get in mind as we think about being followers of Jesus, isn't it? Jesus' disciples are devoted to Jesus' teachings and to Jesus' way of life. In other words, we're devoted to the work of God, just as Jesus was. He told his disciples in John chapter 9 and verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Another way of looking at that is to say that life is short and God's work is urgent. And so Christians are reminded in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That tells something about the nature of our lives when we're recreated in Christ, when we're united with him through baptism and belief, that we are a people who God had intended from time immemorial to be like him and his son in this phase of being about his work, of seeing people with love as he did, of wanting desperately for every one of his creation to come to him and to be united to him, to be his children, to have their souls saved eternally. Our work is his work. Jesus identified some of God's work in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 34 through 35. It has to do with taking care of hungry and thirsty people, taking care of strangers, taking care of poor and sick and imprisoned people. And you and I who are Christians can do that. We have that ability, every one of us, in differing ways, at differing times. Every one of us has that ability. We can do that. And as we read that section, verses 31 on through the end of that chapter, we realize that it's not only something we can do, that's something we must do. You and I cannot heal like Jesus did. But God has given us spiritual gifts. He's given us abilities. He's given us training in the course of our lives. If we're sensitive to people's needs and we seek God's wisdom, we can help people to find emotional and social and especially spiritual healing. Jesus is pointing to God's work of spiritual healing in John chapter 4 and in verses 35 on through verse 38. We read this, though, in its total as one unit when we think about this food that Jesus spoke about. He picks up in verse 35 saying, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. That says a lot, too, about the world that we live in. You know, none of us who are Christians became Christians in a vacuum. There was someone or a group of people who had profound influence on our lives individually and at various points in our lives that caused us to say, I want to be connected with God. I want to be a child of God. I want to know the love of God in my life, and I want to be able to reflect it through my life to others. I want to be a part of this work that God is about. That's the shoulders, you might say, that we have stood on. They've done hard work, and before them, others did hard work, and on from generations past, all the way back to the time of Christ. And even arguably, as Jesus says here, even beyond before him, others who were righteous people, people who really loved God, people who were devoted to his word, people who did what God said in teaching their children God's ways and God's love and God's faithfulness. People who caused their children and those around them to literally fall in love with God the Father and want him to be their spiritual father forever. Those are the people that Jesus is talking about here. And so now, Jesus says to them and by extension to us, we can be the reapers because there is a harvest that is ripe for the picking. Jesus' ultimate work was to show God working in him, and by way of that, to call people to God by believing in him. Part of the work that Jesus gave his apostles is found in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, words that we've heard so many times. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. If the ultimate work that Jesus had was to draw people to God through him, then the ultimate work of we who are his followers is to see people around us who are searching for meaning, searching for purpose, searching for life, searching for God, and to bring them to God through Christ. To do the work of God, you and I need to pay attention to people. We need to pay attention to what's going on in their lives. We need to pay attention to what they're saying and what they're doing. We need to pay attention to the hurts in their lives and the confusion in their lives. We need to pay attention to them and then humbly serve them in ways that bring glory to God. And through that, lead them step by step through patience and perseverance and godly wisdom to God himself. God's work displays his power in human lives, both in our lives as we live out that Christ-likeness, but also in the lives of people who we influence for Christ, because they see God having worked in our lives, just as people saw God having worked in the life of that blind man who now had sight. But we see God working in the lives of those whose lives we try to touch. And we see God at work softening them, humbling them, drawing them to him. We see God changing those lives ever so effectively to be his children. One of the problems, though, that you and I find ourselves throwing up is, when can we find time to do God's work? After all, we have to earn a living. We have to take care of our families. We have to fulfill our responsibilities to our fellow Christians. Those are all very valid things that we have to do. But the reality also is that many of us, perhaps most of us, have overfilled lives, don't we? Don't we sometimes just get tired of all the going? Oh, sometimes it kind of invigorates us. We feel like if we're going all the time, we must be doing something useful. Our doctors might not agree with us. The reality is that most of us have overfilled lives, don't we? We need to frequently review our schedules against our beliefs and our values in God and his word. How does my life, how does the things that I involve myself in stack up with what God would have as the nature of my life? We need to pray to God to guide us so that his priorities are clearly reflected in our lives. Instead of seeing God's work as our second job, we need to see it as our way of life, as we go about our lives just like Jesus. It's not as though we know that there's that person out there that we've got a schedule, we've got to take care of their needs, and then move on with our life. But rather, as the events of our lives unfold, as we go about our lives, as we go along, we're paying attention to people. We're paying attention to their needs. We're thinking, because we've been thinking about this ahead of time, how and where and who can I touch with help that comes from God? What can I do in the lives of people around me, or the lives of people that I randomly encounter, that can say or do something helpful that will give glory to God and open a door, if ever so slightly, to share with them step by step something that will draw them closer and closer to our Lord Jesus? We need to make room for people in our lives. You may relate to the man who told his wife about passing a woman in a pouring rain one day. This woman had a flat tire, and she was standing helplessly by the side of the road next to her car. He told his wife, "I thought to myself how awful it is of people not to help such a poor woman." And then he said, "I would have stopped if I hadn't been on my way to work." Isn't that often, in principle, the way you and I are? I don't know about you, but my schedule is so packed. When something comes up that's not part of my schedule, I start kind of growling within, saying, this is just one more thing I've got to do. And I get frustrated that there's not some flex time in my schedule to do what really needs to be done at a moment. And trying to build in flex time is hard. It's really hard. There's so many things that have to be done. And all of us are like that, aren't we? We work usually in some kind of pressure. There's deadlines to meet. There's people that we have to meet with or have to see. There's appointments that we have to make. There's all of this stuff that really does need to be done. Where is there time for people? And yet, I keep reminding myself, not only as a minister, but as a Christian, people rise above programs. It's hard to do. And yet, if I go about my life as a follower of Christ, then that's built into my life. I need to find a way to have time for people. As you go about your daily life, do you see and seize opportunities to help people to God's glory? Are you conscious that as a Christian, you are to be about God's work? Is this your way of life? Do you serve God in the world by Christ's example? Our motivation to do the work of God needs to be the same that Jesus had: godly compassion for people in need, a desire to help people change and have godly hope and joy, and above all, to bring glory to God the Father, who makes all of it possible. That needs to be the motivations, rather than simply an obligation, a duty that I've just got to do. Otherwise, God's going to be unhappy with me. If God in His love helped us, can't we in God's love help others? Can't God's love fill our hearts so that we wisely and consciously and constantly are looking for people who are ripe for harvest? Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 12 says, Christ has provided spiritually gifted people to His church to prepare God's people for works of service. Have you taken advantage of that? Have you sought out spiritually gifted people in this congregation to prepare you for works of service? You know, you can. They're available. They would be overjoyed to help you learn how to serve Him better. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 urges us as Christians, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Does that describe you always being about the work of the Lord and doing it fully, with the awareness that it's not for nothing, that it has value, that God will not allow it to fall vainly on the ground or to be blown away in the air? That can describe you if it doesn't already. Maybe you need to join the prayer that is expressed in Hebrews in chapter 13 and in verses 20 through 21. There, as the writer is coming to the end of this letter, he says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Have you asked God to help you, to equip you with everything good for doing His will and His work? Is He working in you what pleases Him so that He is glorified in you? And are you His? Do you belong to Him? Is He your Father? Are you His child? By way of your belief in Him and your repentance of your sins and your confession of Him as Lord and your baptism into Him, are you His as He has defined it? If you can say not really to any one of those questions, this is a wonderful opportunity to make a change for the better. God can make all things happen in you because all things are possible in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's that we call you to this morning by coming forward as we stand and sing this song of encouragement.
Again, let the people sing, amen, amen. When the Lord shall come again, let the people sing, amen, amen. Sing, amen.